Welcome back, everybody. We are continuing our discussion of Iker V'Tofel. Last week, we discussed a lot of the Hakdamah to the Sugya of Iker V'Tofel, a lot of the Lamdos, in why it is that Iker is Poter es HaTofel. Tonight, we are going to begin our analysis of some of the more practical issues in Iker V'Tofel. Talking with Reb Dovi during the Seder, Iker V'Tofel is a very complex topic. Rabbi Donath sent out one of a great case this week that we'll have to address in coming up. But it's such a complicated topic because there's really so many variations, such a wide array of cases, and we need to develop principles that will help us guide us in all of the cases. So I think that the best way to do this is to go slow but steady. We're going to go minakal la kavid. So this is going to take a number of weeks. So stick with us. Plug for keep on coming back. So tonight we're going to try to develop two main principles, and we'll talk about a couple of cases that emerge from those principles. Again, our goal tonight is not to cover all of the cases of Iker V'Tofel. There are lots of them. Hopefully by the end of our Zman, so to speak, we'll be able to get to a lot of the cases. So let's begin just reviewing the Gemara Brachos Mem Dalet Mem Aleph. The Mishnah says, "If you lefanav maliach tachila opasimo." So if they bring before you a salty food and then some bread with it, mevarich al maliach upoter es hapas. You make the bracha a shahakol on the salty item that exempts the bread. Shapas tefelalo and zeakla kol shu ikar vima tefelam mevarich alo ikar poter es hatfela. The ikar exempts the tefel. The Gemara goes on to explain that this is a case of peiros ginusar, where one ate very sweet fruits and therefore needs something salty to balance it out. Now that I need something salty, I also need the bread in order to facilitate or just enable me to have the salty item. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Gemara in Reish Yud Beis Sif Aleph, kol shu ikar v'imo tefela, mevarech alo ikar poter satfela, bein mebracha shalofaneha, bein mebracha shalachareha, whether it's the bracha rishona or the bracha achrona, the ikar exempts the tafel. Lo mebaya im ha'ikar me'ura v'ima tafel. So not only if the ikar and the tafel, the primary and secondary ingredients, are mixed together, which we will speak about in coming weeks, but we're not going to touch on so much tonight, ela afilu kol ech levado, even if each is a discrete entity, if one is an ikar and the other is a tafel, so the ikar exempts the tafel, va afilu pas, shuchash mikol, even if the secondary is bread, im hu tafel, kigon sheochel dag maliach, so you're eating a salty fish, veochel pas imo, and then you're having some bread with it, kedei shelo yazikenu vigrono. Notice that the Shulchan Aruch adds those words that don't appear in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says, if you have a maliach and pas, so then the bracha on the maliach exempts the pas. But the Shulchan Aruch adds that the case is where you're having the salt, the salty fish, and then you're having bread together with it to make sure that the salt doesn't harm you. So then, mevarech aladag upoter apas kevan shehu tafel. The Mishnah Brura in Reish Yud Beis picks up on that. Sho'ochal dag maliach, kegon sho'ochal davar matok mikodem, that's the peiros ginusar, the very sweet fruits that you ate originally. Vo'ochal dag maliach lehafig hamesikus. Now you're having some a salty fish to temper the sweetness. Umipnei shelo yazikenu hamaliach begrono, ochel pasimo. In order to save yourself from the harm of the salty fish, so you need to have some bread with it. Aval eno ta'iv klal le'achol pas. So the Mishnah Brura picks up on the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch of Kadesh Shelo Yazikenu Begrono, and he says what the Shulchan Aruch really has in mind is that you're not interested at all in the bread. You have a piece of bread just because you need it to counteract the saltiness of the fish, but you don't want the bread at all. You're just using it for its properties, right? So then, Lachain Hava Hapas Tafel. In that case, the bread is considered secondary and covered by the shahakol of the fish. If you do also want the bread, so even though you're having the bread or the cracker together with the fish, which is what's customary, but you also want the cracker, you also want the bread, you like it. So then, einat feila ilav. Then that's not considered a tafel. Afilu im ta'iv lahamoliach yoser. Even if what you really want is the herring, but you also like the crackers, so then the crackers are not considered secondary. V'tzarech levarich aleha hamotzi upoteres hamoliach. And in this case, where your accompanying food is the bread, you would make hamotzi, and hamotzi would cover all of it. If it were crackers, if it were mizonos, then we'll see that you would make two separate brachos. You would make a mizonos on the crackers and a shahakol on the herring. That's what emerges from the Mishnah Berurah. So, and let's just see Shaar HaTzion, where he explains this a little bit more. Source number four. Tziyarti ba'ofen zeh. So I specifically gave this case, says the Mishnah Berurah, where you don't want the bread at all. V'lo tziyarti b'pshitus, kigon shachofetz le'echol dag maldiach. It's not any case where you want a salty fish, meaning, to say differently, he says that in Shaar HaTzion is explaining why he makes the case where he first eats some sweet fruits and then afterwards has the fish. And he says, "Didavka ba'ofen zeh," third to last, third line, "Shahaya muchrach le'chol hamaliach mipnei chol shas libo me'amesikus." It's only because the sweetness was like very overwhelming, and you needed to counterbalance it. So lachin choshev hamaliach leikar af neged apas. In that case, and in that case only, is the fish considered ikar relative to the bread? But haba alma lo amrina da hamaliach ya ikar neged hapas. So the Mishnah Berurah is making two points. Number one is that the fish is considered the ikar to the bread, and the bread is considered tafel only if you don't want the bread at all. You don't want the bread. You're just having the bread because it helps you with the saltiness of the fish. Point number one. Point number two is that you're having the fish only because you need it to balance the sweetness of the fruits. But if stani, you're sitting down and you want fish and then you have it together with bread, the assumption in the Mishnah Berurah is saying is that you would want the bread as well. And therefore, you're going to make a bracha on the bread, which will exempt the fish. Or if it's crackers, you make a mizonos on the crackers and a separate shahakol on the fish. Yeah.
It is sort of like more a modern equivalent where you sit down to eat something and you don't realize it's spicy or you don't realize how spicy. You take it and your mouth's on fire. You just grab the first thing, so you grab a piece of bread. This is sort of the equivalent of that, where he didn't realize how sweet it was. Then he suddenly runs to need the salt and then he needs to wash
correct
it with bread.
Yes, that's a good parallel. The only point that I would just note is that, as we learned last week, in order for the ikar to exempt the tafel, you need to at least either have in mind the tafel when you make the bracha on the ikar, or it needs to be the normal thing that a person would do, right? So if you have something that's very spicy, but you didn't have in mind that you were going to have the bread, and you also, and it's also not like everybody who eats this item has bread with it, then you would anyway need to make a separate bracha, because it wouldn't fall under the exemption of ikar v'tafel.
So with the Mishnah Berurah's case, he had this sweet. He didn't realize how bad he needed this sweet. Once he had the peiros genuzar, then he's like, okay, now I really need salt. But right away, you know when you're eating this, you need to have
exactly.
They go together.
Exactly, and that's why Tosfos says that he made another bracha on the fish. He made a shakal on the fish, but not a hamotzi on the bread, because by the time that he's having the fish, he knows he's going to have it with the bread. Yes, exactly. Okay, so let's see some of the halachic implications from this principle. And this is basically just to characterize or concretize this principle. It's what we would call a tafel hamachshir liachila, meaning you're having a tafel item, a secondary item, only to enable the consumption of the primary item, right? You don't want the secondary item. But in order to have the primary item, you need to have something else too. Yeah, that's why I would call a machshir. Yeah, exactly, right? But the assumption in the case of herring is that people also want the crackers.
Yeah. Like symbiotic.
Let's see one case, okay? So this is why I pointed out the schnapps. Okay, so source number five in Mishnah Berurah. Misha shasa yayin sarf. Va'ochel iza davar o ma'at pas acharav lahafig harifus hashasiyah. So if you have schnapps, and then it's very sharp, and you need something just to temper it, so then nasa hapas tafel ve'eino tzarech levarich alav. That would be a parallel to the case that we discussed. Achin davka k'shahaya daito olav b'shas bracha o sheraga b'kach berov ha'pa'amim aryeh. Right? And only if you had it in mind, or that's usually what you would usually have that item after having the schnapps. Okay, then he mentions, there's a discussion here about whether you need netilas adayim for the bread. V'kol zeh k'she'ein kavanos olechol ha'tafel, she'ein o'roiv kla. Vino ocheloso rak lahafig amiriros. Again, the same principle. You don't want the secondary item. You just need it because of the taste issue. Aval im kavanoso bishvilat hafel gamkein, kigon shoshosa yayin sarava ochel gamkein, lekach imirkachas. So you have schnapps, and then you have some crackers or something like that with some spice. Afal gav shenir she'echad ikar v'asheni tafel, kevan she'kavanoso la'achil ha'shneim. You want both. So then imkein ein zeh tafel azeh, v'tzarech levarich al ha'lekach o al ha'merkachas techila she'im chashuvin, v'achar kach mevarich al ha'yayin tzaref, av she'ayayin tzaref chaviv alav. So if you want both items, you're having them separately, you need to make a bracha on both. And that's why we said if you're having the cracker and the herring, especially if, I mean, I guess usually those would be eaten together, right? I'm not a fish guy, so I don't really do this. But usually those are had together, right? So that's going to fall in our next case. But if you have a case where you have two separate items to get, you have two separate items, you're eating them separately, and you want both, then absolutely you're going to have to make a bracha, unless the second one you really didn't want at all, it's only coming to temper the taste. Good so far?
Yeah, just on this thing where he said specifically with Yayin Tzaref, I assume if you're making Kiddush on the whiskey, then that overrides it because the Kiddush becomes more chashuv.
Meaning in terms of the order, order of the
right,
brachos?
You're making Kiddush on the whiskey.
Yeah, you have to make the, right.
Well, what's an example of eating two desserts separate, but then take over to a bowl?
Like what we just did. So let's say you had schnapps and you were real, like your mouth is on fire. And you needed something to calm it down.
But you knew beforehand.
And you knew beforehand that it might be. So you had it in mind.
That other food is subsumed in the purpose of the first. I'm the ease network. I'm saying that's just the example of Igor Thoughtful, just understanding your intentions not
right.
That food. It's just for something else. Okay.
The way that I think about it is as a facilitator. Right? It allows you, it enables you to eat the food that you really want to eat.
Sounds like a chaser.
It's a chaser.
Okay.
Yeah, just understand.
Yeah. Like, I know we're not basically. That's what we said back in the day.
Like, how would that just translate, like, with these cases?
Yeah. Right. So now another similar case is where the tafel is used. The tafel is used not to temper the taste of something, let's say, but because it plays a certain role in allowing you to have the food. So, for example, what if it lends coloring to the food, right? Or just color, yeah? Or think about licorice for a second, right? They put flour in licorice so that everything sticks together, right? That's often the way flour is used. So everybody knows about the tumult, whether you make a mizonos or shahakol on licorice. But, I mean, 99% of the poskim say you should make a shahakol on it because the idea is that the mizonos, is the kemach, the flour there is only used, what?
Is it a mizonos or shahakol?
Shahakol. Okay. Did I say mizonos?
My whole life I've been thinking shahakol. Oh, somebody recently
told me. Okay. Yeah, so six. Look at source number six in Shulchan Aruch. Kishenosnim kemach lesoch shkedim sho'osim l'chole. So if you put some flour together with almonds, im osim kein kidei sheyisod alev mevarech bari menei mizonos. If you're doing that so that the person enjoys the flour also, so you have to say mizonos. However, v'im ledevek ba'alma. If it's just used as a gluing agent, literally, right? It's used to substantiate, it's used to keep things together. So then, eino mevarich bari menei mizonos. Then you don't make a mizonos. So again, whenever the item is playing an ancillary role, right? It's like used just to enable you to have the food, whether that's because the food that you're having has a very sharp taste and you need something else to counter it, or it's because it needs another ingredient to keep it together. So then that's automatically going to be a tafel. And you won't make a bracha on it.
I think kugel or latkes, where you put the flour in the latkes to like just so that they
divide
them.
Oh,
you're like, who put flour in latkes? Okay, forget it.
Flour, yeah,
maybe
no.
Maybe.
Okay, it's often same used thing. As a, I don't know what the, yeah,
binding
it. Good. Yeah.
The first three sources you spoke about salt.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a special kind of salt, like a Sidon type of salt, or just regular salt? Why would Harry be so salty that you really need this cracker?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what the Matzius used to be in terms of like how salty their fish were.
What's the solution that they were eating?
They didn't have a refrigeration.
What are the
pickles? It's over pickled pickles.
They use salt for refrigeration.
As preservative.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So it's like I knew you'd be able to save us. Okay.
What are the peros ginusar?
Peros ginusar?
Extremely
sweet fruits. Yeah.
I don't know. Also, they use sugar as a preservative. Sugar was also like, it was like a preservative,
maybe
like
overripe persimmon.
No, it had to be. No, they had to be.
The Empire talks about them. We don't know what they are.
That they would use sugar as a preservative, like similar to salt, where they had to absorb every last bit of moisture.
No, they knew what they
in order to like not spoil.
We don't know what they are.
Modern day.
I wish I had more to contribute to the conversation. I think I did. Okay. All right. So that's the first principle. Tafel hamakshim. Okay. Let's add one more, and then we'll come up with a couple more cases. Okay. So Mishneh Berurah, source number 7. Shochan biyachad vim ochel pas kisnin im gevina oshar davar lelafis bo. So if you have a snack type of bread together with cheese Danish, something like that. Av shehim gam kein chavivim alav. So even though you like them, you want to eat them, So the Mishneh Berurah here is establishing a very important principle, which is that whenever one item, let's call it item A, is used to accompany item B. Now, you like item A, okay? That's so a classic example. I put peanut butter on a rice cake, okay? So I like both. That's why I have both together, because it tastes good. But the peanut butter is really used to enhance, let's say, right? The ikar, which is the rice cake. So in that case, the Mishneh Berurah is saying that I make a bracha only on the rice cake, not on the spread. Not on the accompaniment, not on the enhancer. Okay? Now, says the Mishneh Berurah in Shaar HaTzion, source number 8, Ve'eino dome l'masha kasavnu mikodem, dim kavanoso b'shvil atofel gamkein. So he says, hold on a second. We said earlier, that if I like both the cracker, let's say, and the herring, and then I make a bracha on both. So kigon shoshosa yain tsara v'ochel lekach omer kachas, the tzarech levarich gam al lekach, the hasam ein ochlan biyachad lelafis, aval hacha kesho ochel biyachad, mistabra demasha ochel lelafis bevadai hutafel etzlo, after hutayivlo. So it's sensible that whatever you're using as the accompaniment, as the enhancer, is certainly secondary, even if you like it and you want it. V'yashud lezeh mi ta sof siv katan gimel. So turn to page number 2, and we're going to summarize exactly what we saw. Okay? So what emerges from the Mishneh Berurah is like this. If you have two foods that are eaten separately, and one comes to temper the other, that's the case where you have schnapps, and then you need or you have the salty fish, and then you need the bread afterwards. So if the tempering food, namely the bread, is eaten only to temper, so then it's considered tafel, and it's exempt. But if you like it also, and you're eating it for its own sake, then it requires its own brach. Good. That was what we discussed first. Then the Mishneh Berurah just said that if you eat two foods together, so this is really like the rice cake and peanut butter case. Hold on one second. So if one is an accompaniment to the other, so then the accompaniment is tafel. So the peanut butter is tafel to the rice cake. Okay, everybody agrees. But what about if you have, let's say, the crackers and herring case, and you eat it all in one bite, which is the minhag, right? You take some herring, you put it on top of the cracker, you have it all in one bite. So now, what's the difference between that and the rice cake and peanut butter? In the rice cake and peanut butter case, I make only one bracha on the rice cake. But in the crackers and herring case, Vizos HaBracha says, I make two brachos. Why?
Because
they're both chashuv. So source number 9, Vizos HaBracha, Ha'amru le'el mesyachis le'mikre, sho'achal es hamachol ha'sheni, kedei le'lafes es hamachol ha'ikari. So here's where we get to blurry lines. And if the second food is really only to enhance the first, the peanut butter is meant as an enhancement, so then the ikar v'tafel rule applies. But if the second food, the herring, let's say, is you really want it and it's significant in its own right, Veloke de lalafis is hamin arishon. You're not having it to enhance the cracker. That's not why you're having it. You're having it because you like it. Now you like to have it together with the cracker.
It's like ketchup and mustard, which is always enhancing.
That's always good. Right. That's always going to be, right. You put that on top of something else, that's going to be like the peanut butter. Right. Like a condiment is going to be the enhancer. Right. But the herring, good distinction. The herring is its own food. You just like having it together with the cracker. You're having it as its own food. And therefore, you make two separate brachos. You make a bracha first on the cracker, mizonos, and then a shahakol on the herring. Yeah, we
don't. Do not want to get the sushi?
Yeah, we're going to save sushi for later, because for sushi, we have to deal with, is it a taruves? So for right now, what we're dealing with right now is not a taruves, right? We have the cracker and we have the herring and we put them together, but that's just eating them in simultaneously, but it's not actually a mixture.
So the seaweed binds it all together.
Right. So then maybe you can make an argument that it's a taruves, in which case the rules might change.
Yeah. Sushi salad would go to the taruves thing, or sushi salad goes to...
That also might be a taruves.
Yeah, discuss taruves.
Yeah. Non-taruves. Right, that's why I'm going nice and slow.
For the cracker thing, you should eat the cracker and herring separate. Right, like first figure out how to eat them separately.
You should at least have the cracker separate, and then you could make the shahakol on the herring together with the cracker if you like.
The herring is kosher, so then you get, let's blur the lines even more. Tuna fish or whitefish salad or things that they kind of become almost like a paste or a lox spread.
Mm-hmm.
And when does it become lose its chashivas and then it becomes just like dip? Putting it into a dip.
Yeah. It's hard to make that call. I think it definitely could be. I think you should also ask yourself the question, like, would I eat this on its own? And am I just having it together because that's the best way to have it?
Right.
Right? So I don't think people would eat a lox spread on its own, right? They only use it as a condiment. But tuna fish, maybe, right?
Right. And you might take a scoop of peanut butter in it.
Correct.
It's your protein. It's a hush of
that. I've done that.
Me too. I love it. But I don't think that's... But you're still eating it knowing that, like, that's not... You wouldn't just eat peanut butter.
You would get a scoop of tuna fish on the side. You wouldn't get a scoop of peanut butter on the side.
You would have that on the side. Yeah.
So I want to bring a couple of cases. So the Mishnah Berurah in the second source 7 and 8, he uses the word lalafis, implying that the bread or the zonah component was always primary. But I wanted to ask a few cases here. Let's say you have like salad with croutons or soup with like a giant crouton in it, right?
Where the mizonos is the lalafis.
Yeah, it's the lalafis.
Yeah,
right?
So I'm specifically holding off on that. That's literally going to be the next year. Okay. We're going to segue into that with the ice cream cones.
Okay, can I ask one more case? A number of weeks ago, we talked about how nobody eats olive oil plain.
Right.
But obviously, you eat olive oil with bread.
Yeah.
Right? So is the bread tafel? Because you want to eat the olive oil, exactly. But you don't really want the bread. It's just facilitating.
Like, is that really true? You just, you want the olive oil?
The olive oil is more expensive.
Who can eat
bread? Yeah, but yeah, nobody, but nobody, when you dip the bread, when you dip for the bread, you're not having it because you want the olive oil. It enhances the bread.
Really,
that's what I would think.
It wouldn't be good by itself.
It's food, it's liquid.
Even the thing in the Mishnah, you would be good by itself, but you have to have something else. It's like having
a peanut butter, right?
It's like having a hot pepper.
It gets stuck in your mouth
by itself. And then
you eat something to chew down.
So that's like the water case, right? So if you use water, so then you would make a bracha, but if you're using a separate drink, then you would because you're getting on off in the drink. Yeah.
Your case that fits this week is a deli salad, where it's a shahakol, but a chash of shahakol that you're just cutting up this chunk of deli into your salad, which is a dhamma, but they're sort of their own. You eat them on their own, but they are mixed.
Right. So salads just they open up another potential box of what I was saying before of a taroves, where you have a whole mixture of items.
It's like a deli roll.
And that would be, deli roll is probably more similar to sushi, right? So that is not exactly the same case, right? That's why you have to be very particular about what exactly is the case, right? With crackers and herring, that's not a taroves. You just have two separate things that you're eating together, right? They're not mixed.
It's like your grated margarita and your flat margarita.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do one more case, and then we'll call it a night for tonight. And again, we'll keep going right here. It's fun. Okay. So what do we do with ice cream cones? So this is a great one. So Shulchan Aruch in source number 10 says, Aval osim rakikim dakim shenosnim merkachas aleihem. If you have certain thin wafers that you put a spice on top, him tefelim legabe hamerkachas. It's like the merkachas is like some type of jam or something like that. Uberkas hamerkachas potarta. So Shulchan Aruch says that this merkachas thing is actually the ikker, and that would exempt the wafer. Now the Mishneh Berurah qualifies over there, and he says the ein miskavnin leechol harakikin. They don't want to eat the wafers. V'rak she'osin osam k'dei shelo yitonfu hayadayim mehamirkachas. They only have the wafers because they don't want to use their bare hands to eat the mirkachas and get their hands dirty. V'lachin hava ha'isa bechlal tofel. And that's why the dough, this wafer, is considered secondary. On these like sweet breads that they put the what?
Like the corn, the sweet corn.
Yeah, that something, some type of sweet dish. Okay, a sweet cookie or cake, and they put something on top. So then, imkain kavanosam gambish v'lachilas hadubshanim. Then you're not doing it just because you want to prevent your hands from getting dirty. You're eating both because you like both. In fact, he says, actually, since they're baked together, which, again, opens up another issue, which we'll get to in the future, but since they're baked together, you would make only a mizonos. He says, that's only when they're baked together. What if you made the pastry on its own? Then you put the merkachas on top afterwards, after the pastry is already baked. So then, because when they're not baked together and you want to have both, so then neither one is tafel to the other. We're not going to say that this jam is really meant just to enhance the pastry because you really want both. And therefore, the Mishneh Berurah says you have to make two brachos. You have to make a mizonos and also whatever the brach on the merkachas is. So this is a good paradigm for the ice cream cone case. And that's what Rav Moshe says in Dalet Mem Gimel. He says, Chaticha shal mizonos nikeres v'chashuva sheruya v'chaviva le'echol b'fnei atzma. So if you have a piece of mizonos that on its own is very significant, kigon krichim dakim shal glida. Yeah, that's talking about cones. O batzik dak memula peros mesukim, or a strudel or a pie crust. Veratza lechol osan rishon bifnei atzma. You want to have them on their own. Yeshlo reshus levarech bore mine mizonos techila viachar kachalo ikar. You can make a mizonos first on the pie crust or on the cone, and then afterwards a shahakol on the ice cream or whatever bracha on the filling. Viataam de lahar bibnei adam vuulai de harov hugam davar chavi bifnei atzma. People like the cone in addition to the ice cream. Shalachin yesh la'asos l'rov b'nei adam l'varech techila al chaticha ketano mimizonos v'achar kach ala memula shahako l'ho'itz kefi ma'shehin. So Rav Moshe says, and again, this is following the same pattern as the Mishneh Berurah, that if you have the ice cream cone with the shahak, with the ice cream, so you like both. So you're not just using the ice cream cone because you don't want to get your hands dirty with the ice cream. You're using the ice cream cone because that's the way that you enjoy ice, that's the way you enjoy it. So therefore, you're going to make two separate brachos, and you make a mizonos on the cone and a shahakol on the ice cream. Now, if you're really someone who, like, the only way to eat the ice cream was with the cone, they're only selling it with the cones. They're not selling it in cups, something like that, right? And the only way to have it is to hold it in the cone. And then you're like, okay, well, once the cone's already here, then I'll eat it. So then the post can say, fine, then only make a shahakol on the ice cream, and that will cover the cone. Because the mizonos is being used in an insignificant manner. It's just being used to hold the ice cream. Very similar to the flour in the Twizzlers, just being used to hold the ingredients together.
But one really enjoys, I mean, everyone enjoys that cone.
Yeah, that's why I think,
What about those like?
Why would it not make that up in zone? That's very hard to know. Right. I think it seems like this manazet. I'm going based on my personal preferences, but I love the cone. I don't know.
No, but that's the sugar cones. What about the tasteless waffle cones?
Those are even better.
I love them. I'd rather fast than eat that.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. So you're saying that if you it is a personal
crunch. It gives like maybe and it gives like a texture and a whole an ability to hold. It's fun to eat it in a cone, but you would like. I think, like you asked my kids, they would probably say over their dead body they'd eat those cones.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So then only a shahako.
So then you only make a shahako,
and it's totally on the person.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to be that you would eat those. Like, let's say, would you ever eat this on its own? Like, it's back to that thing. Like, is this something that
really desperate
has any food value by itself?
Right.
If it's that or a fruit.
You go to Haagen-Dazs. Okay, or Doritos, whatever. What? Okay, MSC, okay, the kosher. You go to a kosher ice cream shop, okay, and you get the ice cream on the cone. There's no way you can like bite into that cone without behema. So the question is,
can you make the shahako before
and then make the mizunos later? Because how are you gonna get to that cone?
Right.
You take a little.
Ask for a little.
Ask for a sample. Get a little bit on the set.
Can you make a bracha?
I don't think they really stop.
Yeah, you can make a bracha.
Yes.
You can make a bracha rishona on any amount. So you just get a little bit.
Like cookie crunchies on top, you'd have to make a mizunos on those.
So that's a different issue already. Right? That is the cookie crunchies on top that's the case that Eitan brought up before of a mizunos hamelafis.
Right.
And the same with cookies and cream or cookie dough. Yeah. All of those. So those are what we're going to have to discuss next week. Yes, so we're going to go from ice cream cones. And now we're going to get into the fancy ice cream.
We're talking about that, like a hot dog, a hamburger, where the bun is the laface, the hot dog. I didn't want to get into hamotzi, but
right. But that's right.
And there are people who won't eat a hot dog or kids who won't eat a hot dog without the bun.
But again, you're in that case, so let's explain why everybody agrees we make hamotzi in that case. Because as Mishnah Berurah said, the only case where the bread is considered tafel is if you would not eat it,
right.
other than the fact that you need it to temper the taste, right? So that's not what's happening over here.
What about a wrap? Wraps might be an issue then.
Wraps are yummy.
Who's going to eat a wrap plank?
No, but that doesn't.
That's like sushi.
That's
probably more like a sushi.
Number one, that, but also it's not the same. It's not the same model. It's not the same construct of the case, right?
But you're wrapping up your eggs or whatever inside this. Assuming
the
wrap.
But you're not using the wrap because you can't handle the taste of whatever you put inside.
Right.
Right?
The wafer, those are not sugar cones.
Okay, Chevra, amazing. We're going to keep going back to next week with more ice cream cases, hopefully, that express the principles. Go ahead.